Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The battle of the polling numbers, untangling Marcy's Law, and a look at how drugs are changing the state and the race for governor. For today's Dakota Political Junkies conversation, we welcome former state legislator and member of the South Dakota Newspaper Hall of Fame, Noel Hamill. He's with us from SDPB's Black Hills studio. Welcome. Thanks for being here again.
Great to be here.
Also joining us by phone is J.J. Perry. He is executive editor of the Aberdeen American News and Farm Forum. J.J. Perry, welcome. Thanks for being here again.
Thank you, Lori.
Let's start with the polls, because we have another outside survey. And this one, the last one we had, said that Kristi Noem was far ahead of Marty Jackley. This one has the opposite impact. J.J., give me an idea of how you look at these outside polls and how they're sort of playing into people's voters' perception and campaign strategy.
Sure. Yeah. Well, this latest poll that has Marty Jackley up over Kristi Noem for the Republican nomination, I think they had Jackley here at 39% and Noem at 38%. There's a margin of error here, of course. I think for coverage purposes, whichever campaign sends out the the note about their the poll, and then the other campaign will say, well, this poll is not quite representative. I think there were some issues with this poll in particular. I don't know that they've been substantiated, but I think the Noem camp had explained that there were some Democrats and independents that were also polled in this who cannot vote in the GOP primary in South Dakota. So, you know, I look at these polls at this point. We're 3 weeks out from the election. Noem and Jackley both have great name recognition in the state. So anything can happen. I think it's way too close right now to worry too much about these kind of polls. I think if there was, you know how it is. If there's some kind of a big shocking surprise or something where they wildly diverge on a topic, then there might be something more to it. But right now, it's a lot of kind of jockeying for position.
Sure. Yeah. Noel, how about your thoughts? Anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, I wanted to ask JJ is there still snow on the ground in Aberdeen?
No. You know, spring, I woke up and we had spring for a couple hours. It went straight into a heat wave. yeah, no snow right now.
I totally agree with JJ's analysis. What I'm going to be watching closely the next 3 weeks is whether or not either candidate is going to go negative. You know, we've had hints, you know, maybe the Noem campaign is, you know, saying Jackley was too easy on some of the investigations that occurred, and the Jackley campaign is saying, you know, Congress isn't doing what it should do for farmers or the tariffs, whatever. So I'm really going to watch that. People would ask me a month ago who I thought would win, and I normally would say Kristi Noem because she had such great name recognition. But as JJ pointed out, recent polls have shown that name recognition for both candidates is very high. Mm-hmm. And what I would look for is some sort of event or major issue, you know, to be sort of a flashpoint in the campaign, something that might turn the tide a little bit for one candidate or the other. But otherwise, no, I think it's a real horse race.
Do you think, Noel, that, you know, for people like us and probably most of our listeners right now, you know, we're kind of analyzing these polls and thinking about what they actually mean. But for a lot of people, and maybe for the campaign, that's part of the intention is, you know, the headline gets out there and some people just look at the headline and say, oh, you know, he's ahead, she's ahead, and sort of. Is there a strategy there in the sense that if you kind of get that message out, the message is that we're on a roll, you build some of that momentum for the last 3 weeks?
Well, you know, you have to think that the last 3 weeks, the intensity is going to be ratcheted up. I mean, they've got plenty of money, both campaigns. They're trying to be nice. Whoever wins, by the way, is going to have, I think, a real race in the general, because I think the Democrats in Billy Sutton have one of the strongest candidates that they've fielded in decades. So, you know, you get through the primary and you hope that you don't beat each other up too much, like, say, oh, I don't know, this is ancient history to your listeners, but I mean, during the Abner Janklow primary, right. You know, you don't want to get into that. And I'm sure both campaigns have that in the back of their mind as well.
Well, JJ, well, do you think it's a... Go ahead, JJ.
Oh, well, I was just going to jump in, and I agree with Noel on that, that Billy Sutton is about as strong a candidate as the Democrats can put forth. I think he's... I think he hits a lot of the right buttons that they'll need to hit going into the general election. You know, Marty Jackley has an advantage, and I don't know if Noel gets all the emails, but you know, from he's in the state, he's at the AG's office, the Attorney General. So I counted up. I just looked in my inbox. I've got a dozen messages from the email messages from the Attorney General's office with little announcements and, you know, comments and things. And that's a that's a pretty good mechanism for keeping your name out there. But yes, absolutely. I think these folks want to look like winners, even if it's just these little polls where they're leading by a percent point and the margin of error is 5%.
Right. In my hometown, with the street, the yard signs are going up. It's like all of a sudden, you know, the entire road is filled with Marty Jackley signs. I don't know what everybody else is seeing, but somebody in that neighborhood was out planting this weekend. We'll put it that way. Let's switch here to the congressional race. Any thoughts there? There was some maybe negative campaigning there. If you've seen Neil Tapio's recent ad, really talking about corruption in state government. Noel, did you have a chance to look at that and sort of have any thoughts on how that race is shaping up?
I think that, and I have met the candidates, and again, I think this year we have a strong field of candidates. Chantel Krebs has done a great job cleaning up that Secretary of State's office. You know, Tim Bjorkman on the Democrat side, sort of like Billy Sutton for the governors. I mean, how long has it been since you've had two Democrat candidates that are pro-life, as an example? They are more mainstream than some of the previous candidates have been for the Democrats, and I think that will help them a lot with that important independent voter piece in the general election. Because, as you know, that's the segment of the voting public that has been increasing. The independent vote is so important to any candidate. The Neil Tapio, I think, is a fascinating candidate. I don't get up as upset with Neil as some people do, because he's decided he's going to raise a key issue, and he's been accused of being a one-issue candidate, and that may have some validity to it. But I think he adds interest to the mix. And I'll tell you, if I was still a newspaper editor active in the field, this would be the year to be in the news business.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know that we could have any more competitive, interesting races at the state level. Certainly here in Brown County, at our local level, we've got some fascinating races. You know, and I think in the House race, again, really strong candidates. Dusty Johnson, I think, has really been a little bit of a surprise to me, but maybe it's because I know him the least, you know, from my time here. And but Dusty seems to have a lot of support, and maybe it's Tapio and Krebs canceling each other out a little bit. You know, so I think that one could also be a surprise. And just to jump off something Neil said about Tim Bjorkman, because, again, I think you're right that he is a pretty strong candidate for the Dems. One thing that's, I think, a little bit of you know, not a advantage that they have is not having primaries for the Democratic races. So Billy Sutton is always sort of like the third person in the story and Noam and Jackley are kind of going back and forth. And so there's nothing right now to get the Democratic base sort of fired up, start getting that name recognition out, or have something on the ballot in a few weeks that you can, you know, say, oh, yes, I am for this.
But JJ, you say that, but I mean, I think I just got, again, those emails that land in your inbox, which was some real policy, development work done from Tim Bjorkman. So the Democrats are also using this as an opportunity and to sort of say, here are some of my policies and putting them out. They're using the time to figure out what their message is going to be, do you think?
Well, yeah, I think that's all they can do right now is sort of, they're kind of in response mode right now. It won't get into, it's sort of reaction versus action. And I think, the action part will start for the general election. Right now, they're kind of, you ask questions of the candidates in the contested races, and then the fella on the other side kind of jumps in and says, well, here's what I think. So, and that's a different position to be in.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the crime rate in South Dakota, because the Argus Leader did, Dana Ferguson, the Argus Leader, you can find it at argusleader.com, did a look into the crime numbers growing. And as you see, Marty Jackley and Kristi Noem deal with this topic. Both of them are saying some very specific things. Marty Jackley saying, well, this is how Washington is sort of culpable in this crime rate. Kristi Noem saying, well, here's how the state of South Dakota has not done what you should have done by now, Marty Jackley. How much is this issue of crime and drugs and the crime numbers going to impact how people vote? Noel, your thoughts?
There's no question that crime is up, and especially crimes related to drugs. And yeah, the Noem campaign can point a finger at Marty Jackley, and Jackley can point a finger at Washington. I really don't put much credence in that issue, because I think that at bottom, most people understand that the growth industry in drug crimes is nationwide. South Dakota is not immune from it. We're not isolated. We've got highways, we've got the internet, we've got a changing culture. Regardless of who's governor, battling crime, drug crime is going to be huge. So, for me personally, I look at that issue as more of a political issue with a small p than I do as a winning issue for either campaign.
JJ, different thoughts on how they would sort of approach the problem, however.
Yeah, I was interested in that story because I thought that Jackley, Noem, and Billy Sutton had all kind of separated themselves off a little bit with some different suggestions. Of course, the answer is probably going to be all of the above and then some. This is not a one solution problem. In our county sheriff's race, both candidates had said this is the top issue in the county for the sheriff, and it's that way all over the state and all over the country. So it's not going to be an easy fix. This is not a topic that people can win on, I don't think, just because it's bigger than any one solution or any one person's idea. I think it's going to take a lot to get their arms around these things, but we have to start someplace.
Right. Let's look ahead to June 5th with a ballot issue talking about Marcy's Law and the South Dakota Constitution, trying to step some of those protections or victim rights things that were enacted before back a little bit, take a broader view of it. JJ, what are your thoughts about how this has all transpired?
Well, I think that it's transpired the way it's was kind of set up to. Folks got Marcy's Law on the ballot a couple years ago. Despite protests of people saying, well, this law is unconstitutional, that was up for the voters to kind of sort out and then for the legislature to sort out. This is coming back to the voters to try to make some sense of Marcy's Law, the victims' rights law. So I think everything up till now has been sort of the right process. Now, for me, as someone in the media, you know, it's curtailed, I think, what some of the information that citizens are used to knowing and used to getting. I think it's made, you know, the job of law enforcement and some of those media specialists, I know at the state, too, it's made their jobs a little bit more difficult. I'll give you an example. We had a instance of a crime here in town, a robbery at a store overnight. And we couldn't get the name of the store because the store technically is a victim, and so they can't release the victims. So that took some negotiation to to kind of say, okay, well, it's a place. We know the, you know. But so there's different interpretations, and I think people have kind of stepped back so far to be safe. Then there's the additional cost and everything. So hope this will get fixed here in a few weeks.
So how do you handle that? You just say, hey, a crime was committed last night at some business in the city?
Well, yeah,
how do you write around that?
Well, they'll give you the block number, so it's a big block.
Okay, all right.
And then we said, and there's only one business open at 2 in the morning, and here's what it was. And so
you had to do some reporting, yeah.
Yeah, we had to look at the store hours on the door.
All right. Noel, any thoughts about Marcy's Law and the amendment coming up on June 5th?
Well, I just hope that the right information is put out on this issue. I mean, in retrospect, I think it was a disaster. If you say that you're passing an amendment for victims' rights, you know, how do you not vote for that? But it's that old unintended consequences outcome. And, you know, you don't get good information to the public on crime, like JJ just demonstrated, and there's 1,000 stories out there like that. As I understand the new version, you know, the victims are still going to have a right. It's just that they're going to have to be a little bit more proactive in instituting those rights. I hope that the amendment passes, no question.
Yeah, we'll have more information on that as SDPB's political reporter Lee Strubinger is going to bring you a look at all the nuances of that before the primary. So we look forward to hearing those details, sort of spelled out in a little bit. That's our time for today. Let's see, Noel Hamill and J.J. Perry, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate both of your time. See you next time.
We really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks as well to the Black Hills Surgical Hospital for helping us bring you content from SDPB's Black Hills studio.